بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters at home listening over the receiver, with the father and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we continue our series regarding the pious predecessors, in particular the ulama of Deoband. We had been discussing the biography of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh Nanotwi. And just to give a summary of last week's majlis, we spoke about his sublime character, in particular with regard to him, how he treated beggars and how he respected them. And he was concerned that a beggar must not be chased away or be ill-treated. He always encouraged to give something to them. And the incident we discussed last week about when he was a visitor at one Nawab's place, and some of the Khadims had chased away a beggar. And Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi went into the jungles, and until that beggar was not given something, he did not return. And then he gave the talk that night. Then the person who had invited him for meals, but because of his money not being halal, 100% halal, Hazrat Maulana refused, but very politely, and he made excuses until the person then realized that this was the reason why Maulana had not been accepting my invitation, and then with halal money invited Maulana, and then Maulana accepted the invitation. So again, we find the taqwa, the piety, that every single morsel that goes down their bellies, it was absolutely halal. And then the person who had called him a kafir, the imam of that masjid, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah, goes to his masjid and he reads namaz behind him. And because of this act of his, that Maulana actually apologized, and he realized when Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah clarified his position with regard to Rasulullah, the love he had for Rasulullah, the ishq he had for Rasulullah, and that imam of that masjid didn't realize that he thought he was making gustakhi of Rasulullah, and he asked for forgiveness. And we also discussed the mas'ala that he had given to some person who asked him a question, and he gave an answer, and when he was corrected by one of his students just after that, he hurried and he went looking for the person. And he did not rest, he did not go to his own home until he did not give that person the correct answer and masala. Even his humility and the respect he showed towards his seniors, his elders, especially his Shaykh Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, when Haji Sahib gave him a kitab to correct and edit, and he found an error there, but he did not show disrespect in any way. He just mentioned to Haji Sahib that I don't understand this word very properly. So Haji Sahib understood that it was an error from his side, and then he corrected. Even that person who was a bangi, the one who collected the feces, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah had respect for that one particular bangi who had taught him some important information that he required. Then very important was istighnaiyat, independence from people. He would never stretch out his hand to any person. There were so many occasions when he was given an offer of a higher salary to come and teach in other madaris, but he refused. He was content with the little salary that he earned. And when he got married also, and although his wife hailed from a very wealthy family, Hazrat Maulana chose to live a very simple life until one of his friends, he made a very good excuse, and he finally got a house transferred in the name of Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah's wife, and then Maulana then went to live there. So he was content with living a very simple life, and he was independent of people. We did an example of where a person came and gave him a huge sum of money, and Hazrat Maulana refused. And finally, when the person had left, and Maulana did not realize that he left behind that gold coin in his shoes, Hazrat Maulana said that whilst the people of the world fall at the feet of dunya, Allah Ta'ala makes the dunya come behind us. Then he was very far-sighted. Allah Ta'ala gave him ajeeb ilm and hikmat and wisdom, and he could see the broader picture of things. Allah inspired him to establish Darul Uloom Deoband, and initially he started under a tree. Mullah Mahmood was the first ustad, and the first student he was also Mahmood, both Mahmood. And this was established by Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and eventually it turned out to be a huge institution. and which serves the entire world even today. So, inshallah, we continue today a few more aspects regarding the life of Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahab rahmatullahi, and the object of these series of talks is so that we can try and bring some of these aspects in our lives. We have done so many Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madi rahmatullahi, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi, and towards now tonight to bring Maulana Qasim Sahab rahmatullahi, the last part of the few important aspects that we can mention. His punctuality on salah. And this again we find a salient feature amongst all the mashayikh. How steadfast they were, how punctual they were with regard to salah. Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi, who was also rector of Darum Deoband, he is the grandson of Mullah Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullahi. So he writes about his grandfather. He says, I have heard from my dadi that it was the habit of my dada, that is Mullah Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi, that the moment he heard the muazzin's voice saying, Hayya ala salah, if he was lying down, he would immediately stand up. If he was busy with any work, he would immediately leave it and get ready for salah. Hazrat Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi says, I had seen my dadi in exactly the same condition as well, performing her salah on time. The moment she heard the adhan for salah, she would at once leave everything she was doing and get ready for salah. She would have nothing to do with anyone then. Others were all strangers to her until she completed her salah. Now this is such an important aspect for all of us, that in fact before the muazzin can call out the azan, we should already start making preparations. But the moment we hayya ala salah, we should not delay at all. Come to salah, come to salah. Women folk also, instead of being occupied so much in the kitchen and the telephone conversations and the cell phone and so many other things, we should be very, very mindful of reading our salah on time. So we see the dadi of Qari Tayyib Sahib rahmatullahi, this is the wife of Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib rahmatullahi, how particular she was, that people around her then were strangers. And until she didn't finish her salah properly, completely, she did not even see to any person. Regarding his suruk, his bay'at, his tarbiyat, we had mentioned that Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib rahmatullahi, from a very young age, because he lived in Nanota, and Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi's sister lived there, he would come there frequently. He had a very close connection with Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi from that childhood of his. So Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi would come there to visit his sister in Nanota. And as a child, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib rahmatullahi and other children would go and visit, meet Haji Sahib rahmatullahi. And he would love children and he would sit with them and advise them on dini matters. So Maulana Muhammad Qasim Sahib rahmatullahi, if you remember, I mentioned himself and Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Nanotvi rahmatullahi were friends. Also with them was Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi later. But first Maulana Muhammad Qasim Sahib and Maulana Yaqub Sahib rahmatullahi both learned book binding from Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi. And they both were familiar with him from a very young age. So even while studying in Delhi, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib rahmatullahi would often visit Haji Sahib, Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi, who lived in Thana Bhavan. Whenever Haji Sahib rahmatullahi came to Delhi, he would stay at the residence of Maulana Mamluk Ali, who was the ustad of Maulana Qasim Nanotvi rahmatullahi. So he'd come to his ustad's house, and obviously then Maulana Qasim Sahib should go visit him because he should also reside at the same residence. Due to these frequent visits, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib rahmatullahi became very acquainted with Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi's virtue, his rank, good makeout, his piety, the buzurg. And he would often speak to about Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi to his friends. He was so attracted to Haji Sahib rahmatullahi that he would always talk to his friends about this particular buzurg and wali of Allah who appealed to his heart. And if you recall, I mentioned to you in the beginning, how he used to try and encourage Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi to try and take bayah to Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi. So it's not known exactly when he took bayah to Haji Sahib rahmatullahi, whether it was during his student days or after qualifying. So this is not clear exactly when he took bayah, but this much is for sure, that he had a very close connection with Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi and he would consult him and he would seek advice from Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi alayhi. After qualifying, then we find that he continued maintaining and establishing the ta'alluq with Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, and whatever azkar Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi taught him, whatever ma'amulat he taught him, he would continue. When Mullah Muhammad Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi commenced his dhikr, then he did not go to Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi and explain to Haji Sahib his spiritual halat. In other words, his spiritual condition. And normally when a person takes bayah to a sheikh, he prescribes some zikr for him and some ma'amulat. And then this murid is then expected to tell the sheikh that I'm not feeling good about these few things in my life. I have this problem, I have this spiritual problem, I have this malady in me, I'm a bit lax with salat, I'm lax with this part of deen. So then the sheikh will then advise him. So Muridin would write to Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi and explain to him their different conditions. But he came to Mullah Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi, he's quiet. So whilst other Murids would go and relate their spiritual conditions, Mullah Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi would remain completely silent. One day, Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi addressed him saying, unlike others, you are not coming and mentioning anything of your spiritual conditions. Hazrat Mullah Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi replied, Hazrat, spiritual conditions are experienced by great people. I cannot even manage to complete what you have prescribed for me. And he then went on to mention, when I take the tasbih in my hand, it's like a great bodge upon me, great difficulty, burden upon me. I feel such a burden upon myself, as if someone has placed a huge rock on me that weighs hundreds of kilos. My heart and my tongue gets tied in knots. I have no doubt in Hazrat's virtue and perfection. But he says, I am that unfortunate soul. I feel as if someone has tied my tongue. So this is what he really did then. Now if you and I, if we were the sheikh, then obviously we would see, definitely you're committing a lot of gunas and you're a very disobedient person. You need to get yourself right. Haji Imdadul Rahmatullahi, he was a sheikh of a complete different caliber. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with such batini noor. When Maulana Qasim Sahib, the murid, explained to his sheikh his condition, immediately he said, he became elated, and he said, Mubarak, Mubarak to you. Congratulations. He said, similar, obviously not exact, was the condition of Rasulullah when wahi came down to him. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Quran was very heavy and weighty upon the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Haji Sahib realized from this that Allah has honored you with a very great position. And this incident took place, according to some of them, they say that even before Maulana had completely qualified. So it happened, maybe, he either took bayat before he qualified or after he qualified. And some said, no, after he qualified. Nonetheless, whatever it is, but he was still a very young alim. A very young alim, and already this was his position. Weight on the heart is a condition experienced by most salikin traversing the path of suluk. With the tawajju of the sheikh, his advice, his guidance, his dua, then gradually this weight is removed, but this is a good sign. As the Haji Sahib Rahmatullah, the Sheikh Kamil, many great ulama had taken bayat on his hands. One of Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, one of Thani Rahmatullah Ali, obviously he came after them. Shaykh ul-Hind Rahmatullah Ali, one of Hussain Ahmad Baddi Rahmatullah Ali. Yeah, some of the great ulama who were linked to him. As the Haji Sahib Rahmatullah had placed his special tawajju, focus and attention on Hazrat Mullah Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali. And he would normally and affectionately say that the tongue of Shams Tabriz was Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullahi. Shams Tabriz was the Sheikh of Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullahi, Matnawi. And a person who knows about Matnawi, it is filled with only the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such couplets and examples that depicts the love that he had of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arish Ashiq of Allah, Arif Billah. So Shams Tabriz was the Sheikh, and you see that the tongue of Shams Tabriz was actually Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah, because he related to the people what his sheikh had in his heart, the ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, he says that my tongue is Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali. Haji Imdadul Rahmatullah says that my tongue is Mawlana Muhammad Qasim Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali. Of course, If people do not understand who was Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, and if they didn't hear these talks about Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Muhsin Ahmad Mahdi Rahmatullah, Mawlana Qasim Nanvati, then they will ask, who is these people? What is he talking about? And as I said, because we have been so ignorant regarding these pious predecessors who gave their life, literally they gave their life for the sake of Islam, in the love of Allah, in the love of Rasulullah Park sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their lives were pure, their hearts were clean and pure. They had ittiba'i sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything they wanted to do perfectly correct. If they faltered, they would turn to make tawbah, istighfar. They never fell high of themselves. They never had pride. It was always humility. They would regard themselves and believe themselves to be nothing and everybody else greater than them. Now when we don't read about these people, then we find objections and then we start questioning, criticizing. So therefore read the biographies, at least hear and listen to the biographies of these great people. And all of us are linked to them. All of us, we are linked to them. One day some people were talking about Hazrat Mawlana Ismail Shaheed, I mentioned to you 2 weeks back, that remember his name, Mawlana Ismail Shaheed, Rahmatullah Ali. Somebody mentioned his name in the presence of Haji Imdadullah, Rahmatullah. And Mawlana Ismail Shaheed was a great Muzurg also, who lived before them. They were expounding his virtues and achievements. In the midst of the discussion, Haji Sahib Rahman looked towards Mawlana Qasim Sahib, Rahmatullah, and he said, definitely Mawlana Ismail Shaheed was great. There's no doubt about it. And he told the audience, why don't you look at towards my Ismail also? Referring to Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah Ali. He says, ulama have mentioned, that Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, people like the likes of Malvi Qasim existed in the past. People of that caliber existed in the past. For a long time, men like him were not created. So now obviously a person like him in this zamana is a great asset. Try to preserve his words and his writings and regard this as a great fortune of yours. Once Haji Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned, whoever has love for this faqir, referring to himself, whoever has love for me should keep the company of Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi and Mawlana Muhammad Qasim Nanvati Rahmatullah Alayh. They are an embodiment of all internal and external perfection. In fact, they have superseded me as well. Now imagine the sheikh of that caliber praising these two murids of his in particular. Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali and Mawlana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. After spending some time in the service of Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Mawlana was then blessed with Khilafat, with the mantle of Khilafah. Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would encourage his murids to go and spend time in the company of Mawlana Muhammad Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah Ali. That Nanuti Rahmatullah would conceal himself so much that the common person would not even know that he is such a great alim. And I did a few incidents already in the past few weeks that he wouldn't even like anybody to address him by Mawlana Qasim. And somebody asked him once, do you know Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah Ali? He says, yeah, I know. He knows a few masala about wuzu and namaz. That's all. So he had humility. And this is what all of us need to develop within ourselves. Alim, student, doctor, teacher, businessman, whatever our profession, woman at home also, our sisters, young ones, elderly, we must have tawadu, humility. This was the second nature of these mashayikh and ulama. Hazrat Mawlana would never accept anyone for bayat in a hurry. After person insisted, then he would give the person bayat. Same with Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, because they never felt themselves to be worthy of their khilafat. He would encourage those who came to him for bayat to proceed to Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, or to Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. This was his ikhlas. Not to see how many more murids I can have, and look at the list of my murids, and see who's taken bayat to me. No. They were genuine and sincere, that they really believed that another person, another doctor, spiritual doctor, is beneficial for this murid of this person, then he would direct him there. He knows he'll come by me, his time will get wasted. I won't be able to connect him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was his tawadu, his humility. Ahem. Now, regarding the last days of his life, so we mentioned quite a few aspects about his akhlaq, his character, etc., his habits, the way he dealt with people. For the last days of his life, Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullahi had proceeded for Hajj. This was in the year 1878. And this was the Hajj in which many great ulama of the time were all present. On the way back from Hajj, Hazrat Mawlana fell very ill and they were traveling by ship. There wasn't proper medication available, and as a result of which Hazrat's sickness increased day by day. Many other passengers were also very sick on this journey, and daily one or two people passed away. Imam Thani Ramadur has written in some kitab that there was some type of epidemic that broke out in the ship and many people were passing away, and Maulana also was very sick. So passengers were becoming sick, some were passing away. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Rahman began losing strength. It became difficult for him to even stand up on his own. The doctor on board kept on administering medication to Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi, and by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, after some time, his health improved a little. The ship then stopped for a few days in Aden. No one was allowed to leave the ship due to the ill health. So people from outside, they brought lemons and nachis on board. And when Hazrat Rahmatullah began eating this, he found a remarkable improvement in his health. He continued in this manner until the ship reached Bombay. Three of his companions remained with him throughout this journey, looking after him and taking care of his needs. Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi was his very, very close bosom friend. And Maulana Muhammad Munir Sahib and Hakim Mansur Ahmad from Muradabad. By the time they reached Bombay, Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah felt a marked improvement in his health, that he was now able to stand up on his own. He was advised to stay for a few more days in Bombay, do some treatment, some ilaj there, and then go to Delhi by train. So after 3 or 4 days of treatment in Bombay, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali regained some strength. He left for Deoband by train. By the time Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah reached home, he was feeling a bit better, but he was suffering from a tight chest and a bad cough. While speaking, he would break out in a heavy bout of coughing. But despite all of this, he continued teaching his lessons of Tirmidhi Sharif. So he should go to class and he should teach. And during this illness also, there was some challenge. And there was a debate and he had to go and give a debate, present a lecture. And he went for hours, even though his health was not good, he still went for the sake of deen. Hakim Mushtaq Ahmad Sahib was a close friend of Hazrat Nanuti Ramadullah. Very close, bosom friend. So he was very intelligent, experienced. He was a Hakim and he was a master in the field of medicine. So he took it upon himself to go and treat and make ilaj of Maulana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah. And he used the best of medication for him. And he really tried. He went all out. Maulana's health was improving a bit. But then after some time again, despite all the efforts, suddenly he finds that Maulana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah's sickness only increased and the medication does not have any significant effect on the coughing and the tightness in his chest. So another friend from Muzaffar Nagar, Dr. Abdul Rahman, heard about Hazrat's illness. He presented himself to Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah and offered to take him to Muzaffar Nagar for treatment. Hazrat Maulana accepted this offer and he proceeded to live with the doctor for some time there. In the initial stages of the treatment, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Rahman felt much better, health improving, seemed like as though he was in the way to recovery, and very good medication, allopathic medication was used, but as time passed, again, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah's health began to deteriorate. Hazrat Maulana suffering down with short breath, and he began losing his strength, he could not even walk on his own. But with all these illnesses, or this illness, he never complained at all. Complete tolerance. He patiently bore all these difficulties and placed all his tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of his ustads by the name of Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Muhaddith Saharanpuri. The ulama ikram will understand. So he was an ustad of Maulana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullahi. Maulana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi studied Abu Dawud Sharif, which is one of the 6 authentic kitabs, Siha Sitta, which are done in our Darul Ulooms in the final year in Dawratul Hadith. So Abu Dawud Sharif is a very, very great compilation of Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi. So he did this particular kitab by Mawla Muhammad Ali Muhaddith Saharanpuri. And this ustad of his fell ill, he had a stroke. Mawla Qasim Nanuti rahmatullah hears of his ustad not being well, he insists that he's going to visit his ustad. He's got no strength whatsoever. And everybody is now not encouraging him, they're stopping him, they say, no, don't go, you're not well. But he insisted, and eventually he was taken to Saharanpur. His ustad was extremely happy to see him. And upon the ustad's request, Mawlana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah remained there for 2 weeks. Now during this period, his health began to suffer. And finally he was then brought back to Deoband. And doctors again came to see him. And they gave him stronger medication. And now the stronger medication they gave him made him feel dizzy. And he should lose consciousness at times. So these things happen. Now Hazrat Mawlana remained in a state of unconsciousness. It was Tuesday, Zohar time. His eyes opened a little for a little while. But still then he remained unconscious for the rest of the day. Wednesday he remained in this condition for the entire day. Now people are coming to hear that Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah is very ill. Friends, relatives, principal of Darul Uloom, and many others all coming to see him. They are around from nearby town, villages, all asking about his condition. In a short space of time, crowds of people from Muradabad, Amroha, Meerut, Saharanpur, Gangoh, Nanota, all gathered in Deoband. What can we see from this? Children, Allah wala, people from far and wide, the man hasn't passed away, he's living still. But the love they have for him, they just flock onto the person, just want to see the person, worried about his condition. Allah Ta'ala places that love in the hearts of people for his friends. So Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, his class friend, so close with him, immediately he also left and he reached Deoband. So all of them around his bed. On Thursday it was decided Hazrat Mawlana should be taken to his home where he could be more comfortable. The khadims all carried his bed to his house. Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali also arrived in Deoband. And he remained at Mawlana Qasim Sahib's bedside, engaged in dua, in salah. They grew up together. They studied together. Took bayat to the hands of the same sheikh. Both were his senior khulafa. They both fought together in the battlefield of Shamli. They both strove together to uphold the correct beliefs of Islam. And they both stood together against the fitna of the time. And they laid the foundation of Darul Uloom Deoband. They were dear friends who stood with each other throughout their lives. The time had now come for separation. This is the reality of life. This is mort, this is death. It separates the beloved from all those who loved him. On the 4th of Jumad al-Ula, 1297 after Hijri, that was the 14th April 1880, on a Thursday after Zuhar Salah, Hujjatul Islam, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah Ali, the founder of Darul Uloom Deoband, passed away, left this temporary life into eternal life of the hereafter. Sounds of sobbing could be heard all around the room. People began gathering outside the house of Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in droves. And I mentioned to you, his age, he was only 49 years old. Only 49 years old. But the khidmat he made for deen, we can have centuries, we won't be able to, not even a fraction of what they did. It was Hazrat's desire to be buried amongst the poor. Hakim Mushtaq Ahmad Saab had purchased a piece of land, made it waqaf for a graveyard. After Asr Salah, the janaz was brought into the courtyard of Darul Uloom Deoband. It was not possible to have the janazah here because of the large crowds. The janazah was just taken into nearby field. Salatul janazah was performed there. After Maghrib Salah, Hazrat was laid to rest. Later on, this graveyard then got the name of Mazar-e Qasimi after Mawlana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So obviously when great people pass away, then people write letters of condolence, ta'ziyat. At the demise of Hazrat Nanuti Rahmatullah Ali, many people sent letters of condolence to Hazrat's family. Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali remained next to Hazrat Nanuti Rahmatullah Ali throughout his illness, was present at the time of his death. The words that passed through his lips at that time showed the extreme love that he had for Maulana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullahi writes, he says, if it is not for this iman, if it wasn't for iman, I would not have been able to control my grief at the demise of Hazrat Maulana. In fact, I would have died in this grief. So he had to exercise sabr. Rasulullah mentioned, innama sabru inda sadmati al-ula. When a person suffers any loss, loss of some family person, friend or relative or close friend, whoever it is, then that's the time when the thing happens, when you experience the loss at that time, that is when you exercise patience and sabr. Not after 40 days and 4 months, after 1 year or 10 years, say, I'm making sabr. No. Actually, Rasulullah went past by a woman. And she was standing by a grave. And obviously she was crying, whatever it was. Rasulullah mentioned to her, Isbiri, have patience. And he proceeded. And she shouted out, that musibat that has befallen me hasn't come on you. You don't know what I'm going through. She did not know it was Rasulullah. Somebody told her, you know who you address? Rasulullah. She got a shock of her life. She was new in that, in Medina, and probably a new Muslim also. She hadn't even seen Rasulullah properly. So she goes to apologize. And when she goes there, she explains that Rasulullah's house, what she expected to be like a huge mansion with guards all outside, she said, I didn't find a doorkeeper. And she goes to apologize. Rasulullah explains, said, nothing to worry about. إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ صَدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. When you get the first sadma means shock, that's the time you say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And you exercise sabr. So Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullahi, great, buzurg, muhaddith, faqih. So he says, if it wasn't for iman, I too would have died in this grief, but my iman gave me that himmat to make sabr. But this shows how close they were. Hazrat Hajim Dadullah Rahmatullah wrote the following letter. He says, I have come to know of the terrible news of Maulana's demise through many letters from Bombay, Bhopal, Meerut, etc. This calamity has weakened me to a great extent. Hajib Dadullah Ram saying that this calamity has weakened me to a great extent. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This beloved of mine, who is the main guardian of your madrasa, has left this world for Jannatul Firdaus. Students, disciples and friends of Hazrat Maulana should concentrate on the madrasa, as this is a living memory of him. Please do not be negligent with regard to this madrasa. There is Deoband. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned in his ta'ziyat, in his condolence, the lines, in what a condition am I? In what a condition am I? This is an extremely terrible blow to us. I'm a person with a strong heart and soul. I do not become sad on the demise of anyone. However, I have not experienced such grief due to the demise of anyone else. Life is now so bitter. So these were great holies of Allah. Allah Ta'ala used them for the khidmat of his deen. And Allah accept the khidmat. Allah give them jannatul firdaus. So lucky they gave their lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq also, at least a simple thing. Maybe we cannot do that type of effort that they did. But these good qualities they had in their life, we must try and adopt these qualities. We've heard three buzughani deen already, great people. And we spoke more or less much of the biography. So at least inshallah, whether it is salat, punctuality, whether it is tawadhu, humility, forgiving people, not criticizing people, having a large heart, a broad heart, being generous, hospitable, seeing to the needs of people, sincerity, ikhlas, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us these qualities inshallah, and then we will find benefit of listening to these talks, and we'll find an improvement in our spiritual condition. Our spiritual condition mustn't be stagnated, it must not retrogress, we must progress inshallah. And little by little, Allah is so kind, Allah Ta'ala knows our weaknesses. But for Allah to make us Maulana Qasim Nanuti, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali is nothing. And even if you may not give these type of sacrifices, but something little we may do with sincerity, and Allah accepts it, And Allah grants us that rank and maqam, is nothing impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For you and I, it may seem like a dream. And shaitan will make us feel even more depressed, and he'll put some weird thoughts, you know. Where can you be like Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah? You're dreaming. Yes, we cannot be like him. They were real ashiks of Allah and Rasulullah Sallam. But we can imitate and follow them. Why? Following them, why? Because they followed the footsteps of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They followed Shariat in its pristine purity. The iman was strong. The taqwa was of high level. The akhlaq was superb. All this they got from where? Quran and Hadith, the sunnah of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And therefore we say, akabir, and follow our ulama. And as I mentioned, there are great many Salafi Salihin. There are books and books and books written about ulama and mashayikh and awliya from the time of Sahaba. And after the time of Sahaba, from Tabi'een and Tab'u Tabi'een, right till this very day. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.